Sai.
Spend the David Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Salam, dear listeners. You are listening to Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony, bringing you the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba from Prashant Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the entire universe. A warm welcome to today's Thursday Live, and this is a segment, Service Love in Action. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai. Today is 24th of September, and it's a warm day here at Prashant Nilayam. Well, today, for a change, let me start this segment with an inspiring story that I heard a couple of days ago. So the story goes like this. Once a man got lost in a desert. The water in his flask had run out 2 days ago and he was on his last legs. He knew that if he didn't get water soon, he would surely die. Then the man saw a small hut ahead of him. He thought it would be a mirage or maybe a hallucination, but having no other option, he moved towards it. As he got closer, he realized it was quite real. So he dragged his tired body to the door with the last of his strength. The hut was not occupied and seemed like it had been abandoned for quite some time. The man entered into it, hoping against hope that he might find water inside. His heart skipped a beat when he saw what was in the hut. There was a water hand pump. It had a pipe going down through the floor, perhaps tapping a source of water deep underground. He began working the hand pump, but no water came out. He kept at it and still nothing happened. Finally, he gave up from exhaustion and frustration. He threw up his hands in despair. It looked as if he was going to die after all. Then the man noticed a bottle in one corner of the hut. It was filled with water and corked up to prevent evaporation. He uncorked the bottle and was about to gulp down this sweet life-giving water when he noticed a piece of paper attached to it. And this was written in the paper. Use this water to start the pump. Don't forget to fill the bottle when you are done. Now, the man was in a dilemma. He could follow the instruction and pour the water into the pump, or he could ignore it and just drink the water. What to do? If he let the water go into the pump, what assurance did he have that it would work? What if the pump malfunctioned? What if the pipe had a leak? What if the underground reservoir had long dried up? But then, maybe the instruction was correct. Should he risk it? If it turned out to be false, he would be throwing away the last water he would ever see. Hands trembling, he poured the water into the pump. Then he closed his eyes, said a prayer, and started working the pump. He heard a gurgling sound, and then water came out gushing, more than he could possibly use. He luxuriated in the cool and refreshing stream. He was going to live. After drinking his fill and feeling much better, he looked around the hut. He found a pencil and a map of the region. The map showed that he was still far away from civilization, but at least now he knew where he was and which direction to go. He filled his flask for the journey ahead. He also filled the bottle and put the cork back in. Before leaving the hut, he added his own writing below the instruction. Believe me, it works. So, dear listeners, this story is all about life. It teaches us that we must give before we can receive abundantly. More importantly, it also teaches us that faith plays an important role in giving. The man did not know if his action would be rewarded, but he proceeded regardless, without knowing what to expect. He made a leap of faith. Well, dear listeners, this story I read a couple of days ago, and it was really inspiring for me, and I hope you all also liked the story and was inspiring to you as well. So today in this segment, Service Level Action, I'll be paying for your conversation with Dr. Ron Farmer and Mrs. Swanti Farmer from Australia, and they'll be speaking about their experience on the various service activities in which they are involved. And in the conversation with them is Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. Happy listening.
Across every state of India, across 125 countries, across political, religious, racial, geographic and linguistic divide, across social and cultural barriers, what compels millions to step forward and reach out to complete strangers in need? Since 1940, when the 14-year-old Satya declared his divine mission, a silent revolution has emerged from a heart that preaches only one language, that of unconditional love. Through his massive service projects, Bhagwan Baba has redefined spirituality as social activism, responsible charity, and conscientious citizenship. Be it a service project in remote Andhra Pradesh or at a slum in Zimbabwe, volunteers from all backgrounds are transforming our world by serving in the name of Sai.
Sairam, Mrs. Suvanti Farmer, and Sairam, Dr. Ron Farmer, and welcome to Service Love in Action.
Sairam.
Sairam, glad to be here.
We are very glad to have you both. Our program, Service Love in Action, tries to capture just some highlights of the wonderful work that's going around, the service activities, the selfless service activities that have been inspired by Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba around the world. Now, in this connection, you are a couple who are dedicated to Swami's message of service to man is service to God.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to begin by asking you about the word, the expression, Tugulava. What does this expression mean and what has it done to you and for you?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds beautiful to me and to an uninitiated ear. It sounds like too good lover.
It's right.
Sound like too good and full of love. So go ahead and
listen,
please.
Yeah.
Very close to the real meaning. Tugulawa is an Australian Aboriginal word, which we selected with our benefactor for this charity, which we set up in 1988. It's a school, or was a series of schools for, you could say, naughty boys. Boys who were not welcome in other schools. And we chose the word Tugulawa because it means a place in the heart, which to us resonated with the true meaning of educare.
In which language?
In English.
In English.
No,
Tugulawa is Aboriginal.
Aboriginal expression, I thought as much. Yeah. First Nations.
Yes.
It is a place in the heart, in a way that somehow we also have the motto, and that's the most precious gift in education is character. This is Swami message. So we started this program, this project in 1988. We started with residential program and then we started with the school. Age of the youth is between 9 years old
and 14.
And 14.
So the tweens and the early teens, very that's troublesome
right.
years.
That's right, yeah. Mm. Yeah, we had the research for 1 year before we started this project. We want to see where is the most needed area in the youth work in Australia. And we found that between the 9 and 14 years old, when the youth going through so much changes, and this youth have been suspended, has been expelled from different school in Australia because of the behavior and emotional problem.
Hmm. We originally we were given the task of helping street kids, but Suwanti, in doing her research, came to the understanding through the experience of others that once the children were on the streets, there was no way of helping them for the next 2 or 3 years because it was so exciting for them. And so we decided we'd have to get children before they got on the street. So the criteria for that was mostly children who are not welcome in school, because the next step is then to be on the street. And so we started building up the schools. We had three schools throughout Australia. Then the big financial crunch came. We had to reduce it to one. But we're expanding that. We now have 60 students, 60 boys. We can tell you about the school and how it's run and how Educare is incorporated into that.
Please, of course.
Yeah. Mummy, people have been looking into the meaning of this place in the heart for ourselves. Also for the boys, because we focus only for the boys, yeah. For the boys, when we talk about the meaning of Tugulawa, is placed in the heart, they somehow understand that, but in practical way, how they can understand it placed in the heart. So we talk about the diamond. The diamond is in everyone, but the diamond have a different shape, but they're all shining, but not all the diamonds shining. Because to get the diamond, we have to dig it from the earth. And some diamond is covered with mud more than the others. So what are the muds, we say to them? The muds is like the sadness, the negativity, and all these not the good things about a person. This is the mud. But you are not the mud, you are the diamond. So how many muds have been thrown to you in life? You still is the same. The diamond is the same. The value, the diamond is the same. So coming to our school is really to help you to clean up this mud so that you can shine bright. And when you shine bright, you can share it to others. That is the meaning for the boys. But for us, to help the boy to feel, to experience that they are a worthy individual, we ourselves have to convince that the diamond is in us, mm-hmm. that the divinity in us. So for us to talk in that way, we need to embody this teaching of Swami, that in all of us, there is divinity. And this is this higher wisdom.
That we are the diamond, we're not the mud. And the boys respond to this. We give them this this dialogue, this information in the very first interview. And you can see their eyes light up. When they first come, their eyes are very suspicious and guarded and hostile. But as soon as you start talking about you're a diamond, you're not the mud. And if you come here, we'll help your diamond to shine. You are a beautiful being. You are an extraordinary being. You are magnificent. You are a king who's gone to sleep. You've forgotten that you're asleep, but you truly are a king.
Wow, those are very powerful words. Just listening to you, I'm feeling empowered. Impressionable children in the ages of 9 to 14. This must work very effectively. A lot of positive reinforcement there.
It's wonderful for them because, you see, for most of their life, they've only had negativity directed towards them because this is what their behavior elicits in others. So once we direct their attention to the truth that they are extraordinary beings, every child responds to this because they know it's the truth.
Yeah.
Deep down, we all know it's the truth.
Perhaps before they came to us, they never heard such words, you know, and when, as Ron mentioned it, when they came to us, they looked so sad, aggressive, angry, because their background has been very, very sad. They have been abused when they were perhaps 2 years old, abused and went through so many suffering, so that they just see themselves like the mud. They is not worthy to live, not worthy to live, and they become so self-destructive. To themselves and to the world. So now when we say, but I could see in, from your eyes, look at that, the diamond shine, and you can see the eyes shining. But I think to be able to say that to these children, we need to believe in ourselves.
Because Swami says everything is a reaction, reflection and resound.
That's right.
So if only you truly believe in what you're trying to propagate or pontify about, it will come back positively. It will get absorbed
Yeah.
And it'll resonate with the children.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So that's the first step, that first interview, and that the boy himself makes the decision to come to the school.
So, Dr. Farmer, may I interrupt you here? Yeah. What is the formal name of the school?
Tugulawa School.
Oh, okay. Simple.
Simple.
Tugulawa School.
Tugulawa School, yes.
Yeah.
And so on the very first day, the new boy will come in, and there'll be a circle of 50 to 60 boys. In the centre of the circle, there'll be a little altar with a candle on it. And this new boy will be watching this and see that the boys are all sitting cross-legged. And the principal will ask a student to go forward, and he lights the candle. And as he lights it, he says, "As we light this flame, we light the flames of love, peace, truth, right action and non-violence that lie within us all." And so that's the very first words they hear. And by this time, they're wearing the Tugulawa shirt, which has on it an emblem. The emblem looks like a little bit like the Sarvadharma symbol, but we've taken the liberty of changing it. In each petal is one of the human values. In the middle, there is a heart. Inside the heart, there's a big hand, which is the hand of divinity. In the hand is a teacher kneeling in front of a student. So the indicating... Oh.
So the teacher is kneeling in front of the student, opposed to one might expect the student to kneel.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
In an act of service. I'm here to serve.
Yeah.
And so what the boy says when he lights the flame gives meaning to the emblem. And then once the flame is lit, the boys all together, they say, "We start the day with love. We fill the day with love. We end the day with love. This is the way we live." And the new boy, you can see his eyes nearly pop out of his head because the word love has always been used in a not a very nice context.
Mm-hmm.
And so to hear all the other boys saying it, he thinks, "Whoa, this is something new, you know."
Yeah.
And after about two or three days, this new boy is saying it out loud along with all of the others.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? That's Swami's miracle.
Totally.
Mm. We started 1988 with this program, and then we both thinking how does Swami want us to do this with these difficult children. So we thought that might be they need to be a ritual, a routine, because in Australia they do not understand what is the ritual about, you know. And that's also in the morning. We thought we need to have something with the shrine, with the emblem, but also that they also kneel in the front of this shrine. So at the beginning we thought how we can do this kneeling, you know. And so we give them the example. So the teacher has to kneel in the front and light the flame. When the first boy did kneel in the front of this emblem, we just thought, Swami, this miracle. These children who are so aggressive, so angry, they're kneeling in the front of this emblem and like the flame and say the word. And now, from that time, we know this program is blessed by Swami. And so we start every morning with that routine,
which is essentially a Jyoti meditation or the light meditation.
That's right.
Yes.
Without any trappings or labels on it to put anyone off to think that you're onto a religious path, because I guess at that age they would be very, very resentful of such a thought.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Most of them hate the word God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're dealing with children who...
Deeply disturbed, obviously.
That's right.
And they've been through a very rough childhood.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
So after they've all announced Start the Day with Love, they then are led into a short discussion of the thought for the week. Now, we have 80 thoughts for the week covering 2 years, so it's 40 weeks in a year.
Based on Swami teaching.
Each one is Swami's words, changed slightly to make it acceptable. So again, it's got Swami's power in the school. And these thoughts for the week are discussed on the Monday, and then during the week they are elaborated so the children come to understand love all, serve all. What does that mean? So they're given examples, and they themselves have to come up with examples. And then we have a moral story based on the thought for the week. That's on the Monday. And then every day, they're led in the morning into a meditation.
Silent sitting.
Silent sitting. And for this, it's a focus on the breath, using the general practice of mindfulness. And the word Tugulua comes in here. Instead of saying soham, which would mean nothing to them, they say Tugulua. As you breathe in, Tugu. As you breathe out, Lua. And they're given the guidance during the meditation. Tugulua means there is peace inside me. This peace is growing and growing and growing. But if the thought for the week is to do with love, they'll be told Tugulua means as I breathe in, I'm breathing in love. As I breathe out, Lawa means I'm letting go of anything that stands in the way of love.
So beautiful. Sounds like a perfect SSC class.
That's right. That's right.
It has all the techniques that Baba has said, silent sitting, circle time, yes. Jyoti meditation, thought for the day.
Yes.
It's absolutely lovely.
Yes.
Do the children ever question where is all this coming from?
No, they
just accept that that's what the school does. And I guess the old boys fairly soon explain to the new boys that it's all cool, man, don't worry. You know, just go along.
Some parents do question, you know, and they thought, oh, you need something, is Christian or something, yeah. Meditation. But when they see that we also incorporate all religion, not just this, something, you know, with the like, they find it a little bit suspicious with the like, but in the afternoon, we have a prayer before they go home. We have a prayer from St. Francis of Assisi. So, for example, make me an instrument or thy peace, you know, something like that. And also around the room, the quiet room, the shanti room, we have so many saying from the different religion. So it's not really the thinking might be Hindu or something, but also we have many banner from the symbol of Buddhism, the symbol of Muslim, the symbol of Judaism, and the symbol of Christianity.
Hmm.
So that is his incorporated.
So thoroughly Sarvadharma.
Sarvadharma.
And if a parent says, well, look, we don't believe in God, you say, you don't have to, just put another O in there and you've got good, as long as you believe in good.
Goodness, we call that.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
How many teachers are involved in your school?
At the moment we have 60 children and we have 10 teacher, not all is trained teachers, most of them, what we call it, youth worker.
They help the teachers.
They help the teachers. So we have 3 classes, each class is 16 students to 20 students, and in one class is only one teacher and one helper. So it's very, very hard work for them because every day we always have a drama in that one kid had the problem, you know, got very aggressive, kicking the wall or something.
Some tantrum throwing.
And very fighting. Severe fighting.
Yeah.
So very
swearing
hard
at the
work.
Teacher.
Yeah.
Teachers get sworn at all day long. So they're very robust.
So how do you keep your teachers trained and motivated and inspired? Because sometimes it gets very hard to take so much of negativity thrown at you, so much of aggression.
We endeavour to give them some of the tools which Swami provides us with. Talking about the sugar cane gets crushed so you can experience the sugar, and about the sculptor, the chipping away the everything that's covering the God within. These little examples help the teacher. But it's still a very, very tough haul for them.
We have what we call it code of conduct for the teacher. It's based over the 5 human values. So we have, for example, for love. There's one is that way of really to help the student, but also to help the teacher, that the teacher will really looking for the divinity, always looking for the divinity in the child, wisdom in there. So we talk about this regularly, you know, because it's not easy to do that. And for them also, they need to go through the sub-transformation to find the divinity within themselves too, before they can shine forth to the children.
So these are not sadhavatis, they're teachers and youth workers. They're people who have responded to the advertisement. But in the advertisement, it says the applicant, the successful applicant, must be willing to go through an ongoing self-transformation so they become embodiments of the five human values of love, peace, truth, right action, non-violence. So that selects out those who apply.
Wow. Mm. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Not mincing your words.
Yeah.
Mm. Very nice.
Yeah. During this 25 years or 26 years now, I think Swami gave us this opportunity to really not experimenting it, but also to work something that can help these youth, the young people in trouble, you know, in the education. Because I think that is easier to work with children who are Sai devotee and all, you know, these already the parents with the spiritual background, but these children who have been abused, damaged, and there are more and more of these children, they don't have value, they don't understand what love is. Mm. They don't understand these all virtues. So I think that during the 25 years, we're given the opportunity by Swami to learn ourselves, to work in ourselves, to make this one, this is part for his mission. Because Australia now got so many problems with young people. The highest rate of suicide in young people. And so many problems that our children now, comparing with 5 years ago, they become much more aggressive, much more difficult. And what we're going to do with them? No school can cope with them. And I think that we feel that this is the mission of Swami education in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Farmer, I have a question for you. Mm. Baba actually recommended that we take the path to seva. He sort of revived this concept of spiritual activism, so to speak, because he said that seva was really a way to fast track to nirvana, basically, because when we perform selfless service, the provider of the service benefits even more than the one who receives it. Mm. So what has Tugulava done for you?
Well,
personally,
it's been wonderful for us because firstly we had to develop a deep understanding of what the five human values are. Mm. And then we had to be very serious and dedicated to becoming embodiments of these values the best we can. Mm. So that we can inspire the staff to go in that direction also. And so this is an ongoing process for us that we come to regard each one of the five human values as doorways to the higher self. And so for us, the rewards have been much greater than for the boys, mm-hmm. For any of the staff, because it's always there in front of us. And we know that the staff are looking to us to see if we are hypocrites, you know, to see if we do treat them differently or if we are in a state of restlessness or agitation or judging. And so we have to be on our best mettle, always being vigilant about every thought we have in relation to each staff member and each student.
Very well said. Now, apart from the Tugulava school, you're also active in performing many seva activities under the Sai banner. Mm. Would you care to share some highlights?
Yeah. In 1988, I was appointed as the National Coordinator for Education in Australia in the Sai movement. And through that, working closely with Suwanti, we started the training of people who could train others to become SSC teachers and EHV teachers. And so we ran many workshops over the next few years, and we wrote a book called The Handbook for Sai Teachers, which was sold in the Ashram bookshop for a while. It also was of value for the school in Thailand, the school in Zambia, UK, and it still has great value. We're going to improve on that. We're presently writing a book in a language such that teachers in all schools can follow it. So it won't be just for Sai people. It'll be in such a language that they'll be able to recognise the essential message of Swami.
Beautiful.
So that's one thing. That's the Sai teachers' work. And then we've been running our Sai centre at home for the last 20 years, every Friday night. We alternate between devotional singing 1 week and study circle the next week. It's quite a small centre, but three or four to five times a year, a big number of people come, anything up to 150, 300 people sometimes, for big celebrations of Swami's different occasions. We developed the what we call a sacred Sai Prema Garden, because we have a large sort of semi-rural property, and in there we've followed the example of Prashanti Nili, and we have big sandstone blocks in which are carved Swami sayings. We have statues of Buddha, of Mother Mary, and we've taken the liberty of putting the three big stones of Hinduism, Islam and Judaism all together. So when you sit on the rock contemplating the three, then you have to see them being unified. The garden's designed by an architect using sacred geometry, so it represents the journey through life.
Mm.
How in first we turn away, you know, we're born with being close to the higher self, but then we turn away, and so the pathway goes away. But then gradually comes around, and we're given the opportunity to have these messages and these symbols of the higher purpose of life presented to us as we walk around, until eventually we come down to an amphitheatre where there's a Bodhi tree planted, surrounded by a wall that people can sit on. And once a year we celebrate with Sai people the advent of Sai. And so many people come to that. And a lot of activities go on there in the garden, don't they?
Mm. And we have also the peace pole.
We have a peace pole in the sacred garden. They're not generally known, but there are over 370,000 peace poles throughout the world, in every country. On each peace pole is written the words, "May peace prevail on earth." Developed by a Japanese man during the Second World War, who was despairing about the slaughter. And on the four sides of the peace pole, the words, "May peace prevail on earth," are in four different languages, which we choose. And so when we have a ceremony around the peace pole, to which all are invited, it's as if there are these are like acupuncture needles all over the world, all joining together.
Sounds like it's quite an oasis there. You have a little garden, beautiful garden.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Yeah, we call that a sacred Sai Prema garden. It's we could feel that more and more Baba energy there.
Sounds inviting. I must admit.
And other things we've done, we've run training workshops in other countries. We don't always mention Sai Baba, just sort of briefly. We've run them in Indonesia and Nigeria, training workshops in for education and for mental health, where we bring in Swami's teachings to show how these two areas can be enlivened and made rich.
Mm.
We work together as writers, and so with the Pink Twins, which many people will know about, Moy and Dorothy O'Brien, we were the ghostwriters for their book, The Touch of the Lord. So we interviewed them and then we wrote the book. And for Howard Murfitt's last book, which we gave you a copy of, The Way to Love Divine. He was blind when we started spending a lot of time with him the last 3 years, and we interviewed him and then wrote his last book.
Mm. Wonderful. Suhanti, would you like to add to what Dr. Farmer just told us?
I think that's all what we have been doing under the Sai banner.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And what about the fact that both of you have this ability to combine your professional expertise with your dedication to Swami's message, and you're taking it very mainstream in many, many ways. So apart from the Tugulava school, there are many other activities that you go mainstream, taking Swami's message, Swami's love and light to people who really need it.
Mm.
Perhaps you can throw some light on that.
Okay. Our approach is based on peaceful mind, open heart. And this is really what we think the essence of the human value, that's Sai teaching. So what we have been doing, we have been creating CDs. We call that self-help CDs. And we have created 16 CDs based on Swami teaching. So the CD we have been distributed freely to all library in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And also to many charity groups that are helping people on street.
So we give these away free.
Give that away free.
And to all that respond to our invitation.
I see.
Mm. And in future plan, we would like to distribute this CD also to all prisons, all nursing home in Australia. Based on Swami teaching, we are now beginning also to write a book with the title The Higher Purpose of Life, which will be distributed free to any prisoner in Australia and also to many people in need who are not Sai devotees, because I think there are many people who really need to find, also to understand what is the meaning of life, what is the purpose of life. And somehow they need the language that they can simply understand it easily.
But don't Jehovah's Witnesses and church groups do pretty much
the
same? They come door to door and they say, aren't you, I remember them coming to my door and saying, aren't you disturbed with the way the world is, things are happening, aren't you seeking meaning in your life? And so on. So they seem to start on the same refrain, don't they?
But yeah. I think Swami teaching has a
Swami's
different power.
Swami's teachings have the true magic and power in them.
True magic power in there.
Because just all the examples he gives, like the explanation of the purpose of suffering in one's life, the example of the sugar cane, that's immediately grasped by everybody who hears it. They can recognize that, yeah, it is like that. It's true suffering, but goodness will come of it. And so we have found in our experience, because we've run workshops in Nigeria and in Indonesia, also on this, so we know that other cultures respond to Swami's message, where we use his teachings in the context of our professional work.
There is language, I think, that we need more now to deepening in using Swami teaching is really to connect it with the science. Mm. There are many research studies now that we have been come across, and we also really study it to do with the value in the science, how we understand love. But also there are big organization, big institute called Heart Math Institute in America, and we have gone through it, and they measure the power of the heart. There's much more powerful the power of the brain, and we're looking into the research study that's saying it somehow anything that if we're thinking positively,
mm-hmm,
based on the virtues, but not only just thinking it but also experiencing that positivity, it can change the well-being of us. It can change the structure of the brain. Mm. So when we translate it in Swami teaching, the Namasmarana, repeating
the divine name,
Mm. But not only just the mind thinking, but we experience that the divine name, the experience with Swami, the warmth, the love, it make also the change in the neuron transmitter. And then get us faster to the goal, to experience the love who we really are.
So we're linking our message now with science, because in the West, science is God.
Yes.
They'll believe science more than they will anything else.
So even if some scientific research thousands of years later reiterates what the Vedic rishis already knew, suddenly it becomes kosher.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's such a time now. It's really happening. That it's moving very fast.
Yeah.
The work in neurophysiology and
neuroplasticity
of the brain, it's just powering along, and it's just it's like it's falling into our laps to tie in with Swami's teachings, which makes it very presentable to people
and somehow more acceptable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's we are blessed that we understand it, our heart open just hearing or reading Swami's message. But there are many people who find it very hard to open their heart for something positive like that. You know, not only our patient, but many, many people, they are finding it very hard to embrace that love. So knowing it, there is a method in the science. We use a lot this biofeedback method. They get feedback when they reach the level of positive thinking, they think about something very beautiful, very loving, but also they're experiencing it. And they got feedback. And as they can train their brain, and by doing it, what they're saying, it, the structure of the brain also changing. We rewiring the way, the pathway. So I think that for some people, it's really very a reward for them. When they reach that level, they feel, I feel really good about something here. And they somehow, they can connect it with that more than what they have experienced before to do with the heart.
Oh, beautiful and good to know.
That's right. That's right.
Swami says, you have to create a new set of wheel ruts in the mind. We see the work with the brain indicates that new neural pathways are set up. Yeah. So we're able to... So it isn't just an idea, it's been demonstrated in science.
And it all begins in the heart?
It all begins in the heart. And what Sawanti was saying about this Institute of Heart Maths, they have very sensitive instruments. They can measure the electromagnetic radiations from the mind and the heart. And this is what appeals to so many people. The electromagnetic radiations from the heart are 5,000 times stronger than that from the brain.
Whoa, that's a huge...
So the heart can rule the world.
Eye-opener.
That's right.
Now, this is the Institute of the Heart Math.
It's called that heartmath.org.
Heartmath.org.
M-A-T-H.
Yes, I get it.
Very exciting research.
I think this is when we're looking into Swami mission or Swami teaching about love. Talking about just love, everything, you know, just talking about love in many different ways. So now is just the time that how love is the heart. We're thinking about loving something, but we don't experience that love. It doesn't work. We need to think, but also experiencing it. So Swami talking about love, cultivate love, he said, but also cultivate love by experiencing that love, cultivate his love. Experience his love, and that somehow already help us to get closer to who we really are, because Swami said, you are love, we are love, God is love. So get also us closer to our Atma, our higher self. It's just even a glimpse, but I think that the glimpse can become bigger and bigger. They see that in the neuroplasticity. If we focus on something positive, experience something positive, and really merge in that 30 seconds, six times during the day, this already created this neurotransmitter. They call it happy neurotransmitter. And if we do that, I mean that we're doing that by doing our sadhana, you know, spiritual
practice. Looking at Swami's picture. On your mobile screen, on your computer, at your desktop, and just smiling back, because he's always smiling and his eyes look like twinkling. I think that's the simplest way for me that would work.
That's right.
How many times should I look?
Six times, but you do it more than that.
Six. Oh, we do way more than six. Than, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But I think what Swami said, meditation is the whole day.
Yes.
So we, if we do that, somehow we become one with Him.
Of course.
Because when we experience that, also what we fear, as we earnestly focus on Him, mindfully, as if His grace also open more world, open our heart bigger. As He said, take one step towards me, I will take 100 steps towards you.
Wow, this is so enlightening. This is wonderful to hear. The amount of scientific technique that you are able to bring into Swami's message, which we already know to be true because we truly believe in
That's
Swami.
Right. Yeah.
But the way you are able to combine it with the academic clinical psychology and make it more acceptable to a larger audience. Great work. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you. We coordinate what we call it Be the Change movement in Australia. So Be the Change, like the Gandhi saying, Be the Change what you want to see in the world. So we start this movement last year. This movement is organizes seminar and retreat on self-transformation for general public. We invited inspirational speakers with universal wisdom, like Father Charles Ogada from Nigeria. Our next retreat will be 4 days retreat with 1 day silent retreat. We'll be in Queensland, Australia, with the theme Be the Change, Experience the Power of Your True Self. So it is really something that, again, part of Swami mission, just we go more to general audience. They need also something like something inspiring to say that we need to change. We need to, you know, be looking into around us, so many suffering. We try to change the whole thing, but really what Swami is saying, change yourself. Focus on the divinity yourself, because Swami said, what I see in the world, only peace. So we need to really going through that process of transformation.
And there's an unusual area of research that comes out of kinesthesiology. And what's been demonstrated is that if one person can develop a way of living where they have no judgments of everybody, where they have equal love towards everybody, the positive emanations from this person will counterbalance the negative emanations from 93,000 people.
The ratio is 1 is to 93,000?
Yes.
Some people make a question, when there's so much of negativity happening around us, there's wars, there's famines, there is exploitation and crimes, how can I stay positive in a world full of difficulties, problems, children going hungry, women being violated?
Well, we have two responses to that. One is that Swami says it's not in the nature of avatars to fail. And he said, you all are avatars. Become the avatar that you truly are. The other thing is the example or the analogy given by Artong Jomsai of Thailand. He says, it looks as though darkness is everywhere, but what you don't see is that love is growing at an exponential rate. And love will soon reach what is called the critical mass. When you have an atomic explosion, a critical mass is reached, and untold energy is then released from the splitting of one tiny atom. And it's the same with love. Love is moving towards the critical mass, and once it reaches that, the change will just ripple across the world beyond what we can imagine. And we truly believe that.
We have to have that.
We have to become that part of that critical mass, each one of us. And we can't. Swami says...
And we are enough of us Sai devotees around the world who can contribute towards this building this critical mass.
Yes. Yeah.
And there are enough good people, even if they don't know of Swami, there are enough good people in the world today. Hopefully we are close to the goal.
No, I think it's getting close.
Let's think positive.
Yeah.
Another 93,000 people are going to be affected.
Yes.
Between the three of us, we have almost got 300,000 covered.
That's right.
Wonderful thought. And great hope. You know, we all, they call it sacred activists towards the golden age.
Yes, that's the activism we should all pursue.
Yes.
Sacred activism.
Mm. to what the golden age.
Yeah, jump in. Because I love that saying of Swami, which we change all of Swami's sayings into personal affirmations. And the one of the ones I love so much is based on his words. I assert my Godhead. I throw the little self far into the utter oblivion as if it never existed. When the bubble bursts, it knows itself to be the entire ocean. I am the whole. I am the infinite. I am the all.
And I say amen to that.
Wonderful.
Very enlightening. Great having you on the show. And there's so much to learn from both of you. Suvanti Farmer and Dr. Ron Farmer. Thank you very much for being on Service Love in Action.
Thank you. Happily.
Thank you.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, you just heard an episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai, in which we brought to you a conversation with Dr. Ron Farmer and Mrs. Suvanti Farmer from Australia. In conversation with them was Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi, and this was recorded in the studios of Radio Sai on the 26th of December 2014. Dear listener, please do send in your feedback and comments. We look forward to your mails. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
He is our voice. He is our breath. In loving Him, we found a meaning in our lives. In serving Him, we discovered a purpose. We rededicate ourselves to Him in this 90th year of His divine advent.